Hygiene and Disease Prevention Radio is right here on Radio MD. Here's author, blogger, lecturer, and national medical media personality, Dr. Michael Smith, MD, with Healthy Talk.
So thanks to a recent study released in this month's journal Sleep, we now have some very promising evidence of hypnosis being a successful non-pharmaceutical treatment for common sleep disturbances like insomnia, bedwetting, night terrors, and the loss of deep sleep, which I find very interesting. We don't talk about that a lot, that loss of real restorative sleep. I'm here with Dr. Robert Rosenberg. He's the medical director of the Sleep Disorder Center of Prescott Valley, Arizona. He's board certified in sleep medicine, pulmonary medicine, and internal medicine. So he's a busy guy. His book is Sleep Soundly. Let me do that again. Try that one more time. Sleep Soundly Every Night and Feel Fantastic Every Day. Dr. Rosenberg, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Thank you, Michael. What a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, so sleep medicine, pulmonary medicine, and internal medicine. Which one's your favorite?
Oh, sleep. I gave up the pulmonary and internal medicine because I couldn't get any sleep.
I bet. I know. I worked with the pulmonologists. I know how hard they worked in the ICU. So
I know.
Yeah, that wasn't fun. I was just an intern back then, and that was crazy. So let's talk about this study, right? So we have this, and I pulled this study here, but I'm going to summarize real quick for the listeners. This study showed that hypnosis improved certain parameters of sleep, and in particular, I think what you might call the deep sleep, getting to sleep earlier.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about this study and what does for someone like you.
Sure. I actually wrote about the study in everydayhealth.com, where I do a weekly column on sleep. But basically, it was a Swiss study, and they took 70 women, and they divided them into those who were suggestible, that is, who could be hypnotized, and those who were not. And what they did is they played a 13-minute tape, which used metaphors for deep sleep, such as getting deeper into the water. And it was, in a nice, slow, easy, hip voice. And basically what they found was that the group of the group, the women who were suggestible and could be hypnotized, they were then studied for 90 minutes after the tape was played while sleeping with electroencephalography. And they found that the women who listened to the tape and were suggestible had a significant increase in deep sleep. As a matter of fact, their deep sleep was increased by 80%, and their time spent awake was reduced by 67% when they were followed. So the take-home message for me was something that I had been wondering about for a number of years. I mean, we've known about people touting hypnosis for insomnia, and we know there's a lot of apps available on phones that purport to be able to hypnotize you to help you fall asleep. But this was the first study I have seen that was really done well, that demonstrated quite objectively that you could increase deep sleep and you could increase total sleep time by using hypnosis. So I found it very enlightening for me, and it really changed my attitude to some extent. I mean, I've sent people for hypnosis over the years who are intractable sleepwalkers. I mean, we've tried it. But this was the first time I've seen a study that really showed maybe it holds some hope in terms of insomnia. Well, and also in our older population does not get a lot of deep sleep. We lose slow-wave sleep as we get older. And one of the things that the people in the study mentioned is possibly this might also be a way to increase slow-wave sleep in our older population, which in turn might help to enhance their memories. We think a lot of the memory problems that we get as we get older is due to the fact that we begin to lose slow wave or deep sleep.
Okay. Yeah. So let's back up there for a sec, though, and maybe you can help us to understand deep sleep a little bit better. What exactly is going on in the brain in deep sleep that's so important?
During deep sleep, is our least arousable state. Our brain waves are the very slowest, at about 2 to 4 per second, as opposed to 7 to 11 the rest of the night. And this is the slowest sleep there. During this period of time, we are very least arousable. It's very difficult to arouse someone from deep sleep. Children have a lot of deep sleep, and that's one of the reasons it's so hard to get them to wake up. But the other thing about deep sleep is during deep sleep, we produce growth hormone. And so not only when we're younger do we need that in order for growth, but it also helps with tissue repair. So we believe that deep sleep is the portion of sleep which is most restorative. Also, our lowest cortisol levels are during deep sleep, so there's suppression of stress hormones. So deep sleep, and deep sleep, again, seems to be very important in uploading memories to the hippocampus, okay. Especially memories that involve what we call declarative facts, like math and learning, and even muscle movement, seem to be uploaded predominantly during deep sleep and are associated with the slow waves in the brain.
Dr. Rosenberg, what about all of the sleep aids, the pharmaceuticals, the over-the-counters, what are they doing to deep sleep? Are they helping or hurting?
Most of them suppress slow-wave sleep. So the over-the-counter stuff is just the antihistamines, and no one has studied sleep architecture too thoroughly utilizing Benadryl or doxylamine. But Ambien, Tamazepam, Halcyon, all the benzos and non-benzos, in recent studies and in older studies, have shown that slow-wave sleep is depressed, and there's more stage 2 sleep. So in many respects, that may be why some people on these medications start to complain of memory problems.
Yeah. Okay, and so if the deep sleep is when we have growth hormone release, if we're taking something like Ambien chronically, we're maybe depressing growth hormone chronically, which is not good for tissue repair, right? So is there also maybe
exactly.
a connection to that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't want to be taking those drugs chronically.
No, exactly. And that hasn't been studied to the point, you know, and that would be an excellent study. What we do know is that the slow-wave sleep is definitely depressed. And there's even some studies that show that when we take drugs like Ambien, and we have a lot of what we call stage 2 sleep, there tends to be a lot of negative emotional memories that get uploaded preferentially during stage 2 sleep. That was another study done about a year ago. Another reason why we don't want people with PTSD who are commonly given these drugs early on when they can't sleep, and we're now realizing that may be a big mistake.
Gotcha. So let's look back at the study here. So what was the age group of these 70 females? Do you have that?
I think they were 18 to 35, actually.
Okay.
They were age 18 to 35.
Okay. And are they in, now, is there plans to maybe look at this type of study, this hypnosis study, in the elderly, like you had mentioned, or are we going to see that in the next year or so, you think?
I hope so. But I hope someone does do that, because I think that's important, because if we can increase slow-wave sleep in the elderly, that would be the first part of the study. We'd first have to demonstrate that hypnosis in those who are suggestible can increase slow-wave sleep in the elderly. And if we can, then I think that would be a study worth doing.
Okay. So 81% of the females in this study that underwent hypnosis, 81% had improved deep sleep. And then you mentioned 67% had a reduction in being awake. Now, what do you mean by that? Do you mean they were falling asleep faster, or there was less getting up in the middle of the night?
Well, during that period of time, it was a combination of falling asleep faster and less awakenings.
And that was cut by about 67%. So that's pretty significant.
That was what the quote was. Actually, the actual quote was reduced by 67%. Yeah.
So with this study, being a sleep expert, are you going to start practicing hypnosis, or are you just gonna, or do you have somebody that you like and enjoy?
I think what I'm going to do is, first of all, talk to hypnotherapists in my area and begin to see if we have someone who's experienced and who's familiar with this work. Number two, I'm going to be looking into tapes, possibly even apps on phones to show my patients that might be helpful.
Let's do this, Dr. Rosenberg, because we're running out of time. The book is Sleep Soundly Every Night, Feel Fantastic Every Day. Do you have a website where people can learn more about this study, hypnosis, and maybe check out your book?
Yeah, there are two places, answersforsleep.com, which is my website. You can go there. There's a lot of information on sleep, and you can always write a question, and we try to answer it within 2 to 4 days. I also write for everydayhealth.com, and you can actually see a column I wrote on the very article we talked about today.
Great. All right. Thank you so much for coming on. Fascinating work. I look forward to seeing more of this. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.